I want to share with you today something that that I've lived my own life, and I just felt that we worked late 2 days last night. We didn't wait from about 9:30, so I'm gonna raise a sail and let the wind blow where it wants to. Come on, somebody, blow where it wants to blow. And but I want to share something that I've lived my life, and I'm just going to kind of share it with you and let the Lord lead. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul says, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. He had just talked about, as it written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. And that was speaking about Israel when the manna fell, and they were supposed to only gather enough for that day. And the temptation always was to gather more than you needed. Come on, somebody. And some of them did that. Some of them said in their brain, said, what if there wasn't, what if tomorrow, you know, what if tomorrow it's a bad day and there's no manna, or God's busy with some other, you know, whatever, and no manna. So it says the first day that some of them gathered more than they needed for that day. And in the morning when they woke up, it was full of worms and stank. That's a good King James word. And so they learned not to gather more than they needed for that day. But the temptation was always, but what if? And so they learned, and go back, so let's read it again. This is Paul's, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over. He who had gathered little had no lack. I want to talk to you today about no lack. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I just feel enthused already at doing this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We ask you to open our ears, our eyes. Lord, let us hear your voice and your heart more than anything else. Lord, we want to know your heart. And Lord, we want to be pleasing in your sight. We want to hear it, Lord, in that day when we stand before you. Well done. Everybody say, well done. We want to hear it say, well, well done. Man, well done. Well done with your life. Well done the way you lived your life. Well done, son. Well done, daughter, the way you lived your life. Well done. And so, Lord, I pray that I would break out of this world's molds and the things of that I've grown up. And I just pray, God, that I would hear those words in that day. Well done, Terry. Well done. Well done. And I give you all the praise in Jesus. Anybody say amen? Amen? Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you today about living a life where there is no lack. How would you live your life if today you had more than enough? Come on, somebody. Why would you live your life if lack wasn't a problem any longer? If you had more than you needed and God took lack out of the equation? Let me give you some examples. I'm going to show you, and I think I'll get into this a little bit more. I don't want to really introduce it too much. I just want to tell you some stories, and we're going to pray. But I want you to see this. The children of Israel was in Egypt, and they lived 400 years in Egypt. When they went to Egypt, they were, are we cleaning up all their spills? Spill on aisle number one. I see you spill some. My wife did it. My baby. Hey, before I do, Jasmine's got a good, come on, Jasmine, I forgot, I put her right in the middle of my thing. She had a good testimony, I was going to get her to do it. Just grab one of those mics, and our junior mic man back there will figure out which one you got back there. See if you just pull it. It'll work, there you go. You can stand right there.
I could have waited.
That's
but,
okay.
I was just thinking earlier, and that is an amazing thing that he started with no lack, because when you are obedient, it's amazing how God blesses your obedience. I never thought that the Lord would supply this time. I don't know why that I would go to Lebanon, and he did far above, exceedingly beyond what we even imagined. So I went, and just the way the Lord used the flood was amazing to me, because I started everywhere I went. I had, I think, about five chapels and three ladies' meetings, and then an old people's home with women one side and the men on the other, the building, and just everywhere I went, they would look at you because they would introduce me. I didn't want them to say that, but they would say, she's come from America, and she has a word. And I would get up, and I said, yeah, the first thing you look at me, and you think, I'm from America, so my life must be so easy, Well, let me tell you what happened 6 months ago. And I told them how we threw out our own precious things as garbage. And every time I talked about it, the Lord would just show me a picture, especially the church, the stuff out there. And, you know, you could have seen in one of the chapels I was praying because it was 7:30 in the morning and it was going to be up from 7 years old up to the 18-year-old in the back. And I was like, Lord, you got to give me a word that they're going to listen. And the way the Lord used the flood, and because I obeyed, I just went and I obeyed. I told Terry, I feel like the Lord's stirring me. I need to go. And the Lord supplied. We went everywhere. We blessed the schools with financial help and just amazing things. But one of the things that I felt like the Lord did for this one person, because sometimes he does it for that one sheep. One sheep, he leaves the 99 and goes out. And so when I got to the men's side of the old people's home, they said, well, we have some that are going to be in the rooms. Do you mind going to the rooms? And I said, I don't mind. And the three workers and my aunt and one of our orphan boys who's 50-some years old right now, he drives me around. And he's like a little brother that, you know, years ago when he was growing in our orphanage, I never thought that he would be serving the Lord this way. But we were there, and we all went into the first room. And the Lord used that. She was blind, and I couldn't really tell how she was listening, but I could tell she was getting frustrated a little bit because I usually look at people's eyes when I'm talking, and I can tell if you're frustrated or you're listening. But anyways, the second room we went in, he was not even 7 years old, a man, and he's sitting. He had his legs on a chair, and I quickly went for his hand, and I heard one of the workers say, oh, he can't hold your hand or something, but I reached for it anyways, and I think he had a stroke. They didn't tell me anything about him. He was watching TV. Well, I started singing. He turned off the TV because it's a song my dad has written about. God is almighty. He is almighty, and I'm doing it in Armenian. And then I started telling him, you know, I'm coming from Baton Rouge, and you think that my life is easy. And he said, oh, I saw the cars all covered. And I said, yeah, one of them was mine. We threw it out like garbage. Yes. And so that got his attention. And then I started talking to him. The first part, he was interested. But every time I would say, and God has been so faithful, and he's so faithful. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. He is faithful. And that is today. His mercies are new today, this morning. So he's faithful to us. It doesn't matter what we're going through. He's such a big God. He's bringing us through. He's not going to leave us in. So I started talking to him, and then I could tell he started receiving. So at the end, I said, can I pray for you? And he was like, you know, not totally committed because he didn't know what I was going to do. Well, I reached over. I put my left hand on his arm. And the way I do, you know, even when I'm praying, I'm moving my hand. And so I'm praying about him. And I said, Lord, you know his heart, Mr. Sarkis, and you know his mind and everything about him, whatever is his need, Lord. And then I said, fill this room, Lord, with your chararutyun, which is peace in Armenian. And the minute I said chararutyun, five of them screamed. And they screamed, a dove, a dove. And I quickly finished. And I said, amen. And I opened my eyes, and they're going, Avamion. And there was this big, medium-sized dove that had flown over the heads of the three workers that were standing at the door. And I was standing by the window, and I pretended like I was real calm. But I really thought it was coming for me, you know, and I'm like, let's open the window. I said, it's a dove. And I've never seen that before. And so I'm trying to open the window. The dove came through the window like this, flew around, did not even hit the window, went around, flew out from over their heads. And we were all like, and I said to the workers, I said, has this ever happened? Because you have balconies, and never happened before. And then my aunt was trying to explain, well, it's a dove, you know, and sometimes doves. And Hagop, who works at the old people's home, he said, it's never happened before. And I said, I've never seen it. And Mr. Sarkis was very quiet. And I said, that was amazing. So we left. I went to speak to the old people, and they were all like in a room, and that was amazing. But when I got home that night, I said, Lord, you did something for him, just for him. I don't know what he was praying for. I don't know what he was asking the Lord for. But the minute I prayed peace in his home In his room, the dove flew in at that word. And that was not accidental. And I really believe that we, when we step out in obedience, we just need to go ahead and do it. Because he's saying, ask, ask. And sometimes we're hesitant to ask because we're like, well, I don't know. Maybe the Lord, right now, that's not his will or whatever. He said, ask. And his eyes are going back and forth throughout the world to show himself mighty for those whose hearts are towards him. He's a mighty God, but he's not going to show up unless you're calling him to show up. And he did. And I'm amazed. And I just wanted to share that this morning. And there was no lack. I had more than I needed. And I gave away, we gave away more than what they needed. And I felt like the Lord just blessed, because it was just amazing how I kept saying, I don't know what, you know, and I would see a need. And the Lord just supplied in my bag. And I don't know how, but he did it. So...
Everybody say amen. Amen. You think my wife is fun to live with? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You wind her up in the morning, she don't unwind till nighttime. All right, the children of Israel. Remember them. They were in the wilderness for 400 years. In Egypt for 400 years, and they had to work for nothing. They were slaves. 400 years they were in the brickyard of Pharaoh, and they were... You know the story, you read it. They literally were slaves and they worked for nothing. And God told them in Exodus chapter 3, here's what he told them before they left Egypt. Look what he said. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall be when you go that you will not go empty-handed. 400 years you worked for nothing. But every woman will ask of his neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and in your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And when Israel came out, they came out wealthy. When Israel left Egypt, they did not come out poor as slaves. They came out wealthy. They had experienced lack for 400 years. And God said, when the curse was broken and the generational curse was broken and they were coming out of Egypt, they did not come out poor. They came out rich. Come on, somebody. So God doesn't listen. Let me just say this. And God doesn't have to rip off anybody to bless you. I just thought I'd straighten that out for somebody. God wasn't ripping off the Egyptians. It was back pay. Come on, somebody. God's a good hourly keeper. He kept track of how much owed them. And when they came out, there were millions and millions of Jews. And they asked for all the gold and the silver and the clothing. And God literally brought it. And God had been keeping time, all that unpaid hours that were owed them. And listen, there's a message. Listen, the generation that breaks the curse gets the repayment. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you some things that I've just learned personally in my own life that I've learned. I've learned this. That happened in my life when my dad got saved. My dad had been an alcoholic a lot of his life, and we had a lot of misery. You know, those of you that lived through alcoholic parents in the early years, you understand, you know the things you go through. And I'm going to tell you, the generation that breaks the curse gets all the blessing. Because that generation that came out of Egypt, they broke the curse of 400 years and 400 years of generations. And the Bible says they got the blessing. And I've learned this in my life. If you're the one that's breaking the generational curse out of your family, claim the blessing. And if you don't want it, I'll take it. Come on, somebody. It's payday someday, and the Lord is going to make all those things. So when it happens like that, I've learned this, it's payday. Listen, you don't want it. And when the Lord began to do that, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the story when Israel was surrounded. And they were completely surrounded by an enemy nation, or Arameans. And the Bible says that they sent praisers. They said, God, what do we do? And here's what they did. God said, send the praisers first. Now, that's a principle in itself, but I love what they said. They said, here's what they prayed, and here's what they sang. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Everybody say that with me. He is good. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. And when you begin to believe that and say that, then you believe that God can meet all of your needs, and more than this, he can give abundantly above all that you ask or think. Because he is good. And so when they went out and they were surrounded by their enemies, they went out and they began to sing this song. God is good. God, you're good and your mercy endures forever. God, you're good and your mercy endures. God, you're good and your mercy endures. God, you're good. Everybody say God is good. See, we think that somehow that doesn't include. Listen, when God is good, there's no lack. And listen, here's what. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, They found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Amen. Let me tell you something. It took them one afternoon to make it. It took them 3 days to pick it up. Come on, somebody. It took them longer to count it than it was to make it. It took them one afternoon to make it. It took them 3 days to count it. If you don't want it, I'll take it. That's just what I'll say. God took lack. Listen, God took lack. It was because there was so, everybody say so much. God took lack out of the equation. I'm going to show you this. Let me just say this. That can work in all areas of your life if you've got a lack. Let's say you lack looks. And you want to get married. You don't have to be good looking to get married. Look at all the men in here that are married. Come on, somebody. All the ugly people say amen today. Come on. You don't have to be good looking to get married. God, the Bible says, he that finds the wife finds a good thing and finds what? Favor with the Lord. God does that. He gives you favor. Now, look at this in 2 Kings chapter 6. It says, it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And today's currency, that's $670. An ass's head, listen, until a donkey's head, an ass's head, sold for $670, and 1/4 of a cab, that's about a pint, of dove droppings, that's dung, which is $110. Can you imagine Walmart? Can you imagine going to Walmart and they have two items for sale at Walmart? They got a sign, ass's head this way, dove dung this way. Down that row, every shelf is a donkey's head, $670 for each head. Down the other aisle, down the other side of Walmart, is dove dung for $110 a pint. That was the cost. Come on, somebody. Listen, I don't care how much Tony Satchery's you got. You can deep fry it. You know, you can blacken it. You do whatever you want to do. It ain't gonna. It's still gonna be a donkey head and dove dung. But what happens is, and so that's what they were. How many believe they were experiencing lack? You think they were experiencing lack in that city? And you can imagine that what they were living. I mean, and can you imagine those people going there waiting on these doves to, you know, do whatever they did? I don't know why they didn't eat the dove. You know, they ate the donkeys. I don't know about you, but some things don't make sense. So unless they couldn't catch them, maybe they just couldn't catch them. They just wait, you know, they fell. But I want you to listen to Elisha. Elisha is on the scene. He's a prophet. And he knows a God that is good and his mercy endures forever. He knows of a God that there is no lack, that he can do abundantly above all that we've. And he's got an ear listening to the God that's more than enough. And he's got a different set of eyes. And listen what he says. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour, and I wrote this out, that's about 3.5 gallons of flour, will be sold for a shekel, which is about $20. Let me tell you something. You're paying $670 for an ass's head. You're paying $110 a pint for dove dung. And Elisha said, you need to serve the right God. We serve a God that's more than enough. In fact, I'll give you a word from God. Tomorrow, you're going to buy 3.5 gallons of flour for $20. And the rest of it says, and 2 seahs of barley, which is about 7 gallons for $20. He said, you go for $20 tomorrow, you're going to buy 7 gallons of barley or 3.5 gallons of flour. And so you said, that's the word of the Lord. I know I serve a God that's more than enough. And the Bible says none of them believe him, but I want you to see this. I want you to see how God says, and go to the next one. Hear the word of the Lord. It says, so an officer of whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, could this thing be? How many know there's always somebody going to doubt God? Come on, somebody. There's always going to be some, I don't believe that. I've lived enough of life. That's not how things work in life. If you don't want it, I'll take it. Come on, somebody. And he said, and Elisha said, how could this thing be? And Elisha said, in fact, you shall see with your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Now, I want you to see how God took lack out of the equation for these people. I want you to see how God took lack out of the equation. Well, listen, when all they had going on in their life was ass's head and dove dung, only thing they were eating every morning is breakfast, lunch, and supper was a donkey's head or dove dung. Which one do you want? What do you want today? All right. There were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Now, I want you to listen. Lepers were not allowed inside the city. Lepers were not allowed to be inside the city, so they had to sit outside the city walls or the city gates. They had to live outside the walls. Many times they had their own communities outside of cities. That's where the lepers lived. But many of them would live along the very, very perimeter of the city, because here's what would happen. During the good times, through the benevolent attitude of the people, here's how lepers survived. The people, after they'd eaten their meal, would throw their scraps or their leftovers, they would throw them over the wall. In the goodness of the heart, they would throw them over the wall, and the lepers is what the lepers ate. Many lepers survived simply from the benevolent attitude of the people within the city that would throw the scraps over the walls. And these lepers would sit along the city gates at night or sit along city walls and after mealtimes, and they would get the scraps of what was left over. But how do you know if they're eating ass's head and dove dung inside the city, ain't nothing coming over that wall? So these four lepers are sitting there on the other side of this gate, and the whole city is surrounded now by Ben-Hadad and the Syrians, and they're sitting there. They're about to starve to death. There's nothing coming over the wall. They are absolutely starving to death. And the Bible says that one of them came in. Now, can you imagine? I started to play a little clip of Hee Haw. I remember the little thing in Hee Haw. Gloom and agony on high. Remember that clip there? And I had a good one, but I thought, well, nah, we won't do that. And these four lepers are kind of like that. And so one of them, suddenly God, I don't believe this was God. God spoke to one of them. And one of them looked at the other and said, why are we sitting here until we die? There ain't nothing coming over the wall. There's nothing coming over the wall. It's dry as a bone. There's nothing coming over the wall. So one of them says, and listen, you've got to be careful, because God will speak so suddenly sometimes in your most desperate need and your time. And God spoke to them, and he says, why do we wait here until we die? And let me just ask some of you, why are you sitting? They said, if you don't want to believe God, man, look, what are you dealing with and what you're walking through? Believe God. And so one of them said, why do we stay here till we die? And there's, listen, because they said, you know what, there's a place of abundance not far from us. And we're sitting here starving to death, and there's a place of abundance not far from us. And I can hear one of them, the other, say, oh, no, we can't go over there. You know, the Syrians, they'll kill us. They'll before we even get near there, they'll shoot us or kill us, whatever it may be. Let me tell you, if I'm going to die, let me die as near to food as I can die. Come on, somebody. Let me die as I can get. There's always somebody who's happy with scraps. You can imagine one of the lepers found to have said that. They said, oh, no, we can't do that. We don't want to go over there. There's somebody always happy with scraps. My name is Scrappy. I'm happy just like my pappy. Come on, somebody. And some of you have got to a place in your life where that's how life lived. That's how it always was, always going to be. And listen, one day you're going to have to get to this, you know, your scrappy self up and go. And so what happened was, verse 3 says again, why do we sit here until we die? And so they said, let's go. And they get up and look at, watch this, verse 4. And if we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city. And if we shall die there, if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we'll die anyway. We're going to die right here. All right. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noises of chariots and the noises of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, the Syrians, look, the kings of Israel hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left their camp intact. Their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Now, you got to see this. God caused the Syrians to hear this loud noise, like it was chariots and horses and footmen and soldiers coming against them, and they panicked. But listen, when did God do that? And I want you got to hear this very quick, because it'll help you today. When did they do this? When did they hear that sound? Look at verse 7. Yeah, go back. Verse 7 says, They arose and fled at when?
Twilight.
They arose and fled at twilight. That's when they heard the sound. But when did the four lepers start walking toward the Syrian camp? Watch it. Go back. Yeah, sure. Therefore, the four lepers arose and fled at twilight. Then the camp attacked. Go to the next one. Go back to verse 5. They arose, the four lepers arose at... Now, here's what you got to get. God, many times, the Bible says it's the working of miracles. Not just the gift of miracles, the working of miracles. See, many times, and you'll find it throughout the Bible, God doesn't just do... In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it says the word created means to create out of nothing. But after that is, God took everything else and he created and he used things that already was and he used those things. When you begin to see God move in lives, God does not just do it from absolutely nothing. God always uses what we give him. And the Bible says this, that those four lepers, I want you to get this, those four lepers got up at twilight and started, said, you know what? If we die, we're going to die. You go there, we might die, but we're going to die anyway. So they start walking. And I want you to watch this, because when they started walking, God used their footsteps and magnified them like he did the little boy's lunch. He magnified and multiplied them, piped them up to heaven and piped them down back over on the sea. And when these four, 8 feet are walking out of those four lepers, those 8 feet are hitting the ground. He's magnifying the sound of boom, boom. I started doing this on the PA system. Anybody got a PA system? Give me a microphone right here, would you? Turn up this microphone. This one on. Testing. Boom! 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 And every step they took, God magnified it, piped it back over the Syrians, and the Syrians got into a panic. And the Bible says they began in their imagination believe it's the Egyptians, it's the Hittites. They've hired them against, and all it is four lepers, 8 feet, walking toward them. And God took what these guys were doing and magnified it. Let me tell you, he took a little boy's lunch one day and magnified it to feed a multitude. You've got to understand that God, listen, when you remember when the story of Joshua, when he was fighting, and how God literally multiplied them on and on. The working of miracles. They spoke as the Spirit gave the utterance. They spoke as the Spirit gave. Workers together. I'm going to tell you, when you understand that God works and you give him things, when he turned the water into wine, he didn't create wine out of nothing. They already had water. He took what they had and then did the miracle out of what they had. You know, H2O, I always like to say 12 hydrogens, you know, smiled at 6 oxygen, and they blushed and turned into wine. And you understand that what happens in life, that God takes what you have and multiplies it and uses it. And God took the sound of their steps. And it's interesting that he didn't let the lepers hear it. When the lepers were walking, they didn't hear their sounds going boom, boom. They didn't hear that. All they heard was just little, just like they were walking, just little, man, I don't know. And they start walking. They don't know that is a walk of, come on, somebody, that's a walk of faith. They're walking by faith. And that's why it's called walk by faith. Because you don't hear what's happening in the real, you don't hear what's going on in the spirit. You don't hear any of that stuff. And God's taking what you're doing and he's multiplying what you're doing. What do we have here among so many? We have a little boy's lunch. But what is this among so many? And Jesus said, bring it here. And when they began to walk in faith, God begins to take what they had and multiply what they had. And it began to affect the Syrians. God just amplified it, brought it back down. And the Bible says the Syrians fled for their lives. Everybody say amen. And they kept walking and walking. And so when it began to happen, it says they heard the footsteps. But that's why you've got to keep walking by faith. People say, how long do you walk? I don't know how long you walk. You just keep walking by faith. And because God, as long as you keep walking, God keeps working. As you're walking, God is working. You may not know what God is doing, but God is always doing something. And you keep walking by faith. And you just got to keep on walking. And you keep walking, God continues to work. And I like this. God magnified their steps and the Arameans fled. And so in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 7, it says, go to verse 7. Therefore they arose, fled at twilight, and left the camp intact. Their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. When the lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one of the tents. And the stove was still on. Come on, somebody. The gumbo was just about ready. The cornbread was almost done. The table had been set. The grape poupon was on the... And they walked into this tent. Let me tell you, they'd been sitting outside a city that had been eating ass's head and dove dung. And they walk in, and they, I mean, you talk about lack. And they began to say, I'm going to start walking. And they began to walk toward the enemy's camp. And they come, there's nobody, and all the tents are intact. Ain't nothing moved. The fire is going, and the food is being cooked. And they just went there and said, well, look at this. These four, can you imagine, can you see these four lepers? Man, they just sit down, start. Hey, you want some more? Here you go. Here's some more. And they went and they went into one tent, ate and drank. They carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid it. Then they came back and entered another tent, carried away. Man, they put on, I mean, can you imagine? They took off their clothes, their leper clothes, and they put on some of the finest garments around. They right on the nightstand was the jewelry box. Well, look at here, would you? Look at that ring. Look at, oh, well, come on. Must be God intended me to have that. They stuck that on that finger. And they carried from there also, and they went and hid it. And they had so much stuff. Listen, you know, he said, hey, Scrappy, get a load of this. Whoever's been, you know, cooking, is still cooking. But here's what happened. Then they said to one another, and I want you to notice, here is the key. The reason God wants to abundantly, above all that you ask and think, to bless us. It's not so that we can build a bigger this and buy a newer that and do a bigger this or do it. That is not why God will bless us. Not so I can build bigger barns and say, look at the bigger, or get up in society and look what more I, that's not why God bless. That has been the downfall of the right message of abundance. Because so many have taught prosperity, and I can even sense a pushback from some of your hearts because of the false message come out about God blessing you. The reason it's gone so sour is because they believed and then they've taken it all and they've just spent it on themselves. Bought them newer this and newer that and bigger jets and just wasted stuff. But here is why God, by faith, these four lepers walking, God magnified their steps and blew it out. He didn't do it. He did not bless them just for themselves. He did not bless them to take all that money and keep it all themselves and hoard it up. Because you never know, we better get more than we need because tomorrow, you know, the manna. And that's why it stunk the next day. Here's what it is. Then they said to one another, we are not. You ever had to say that to yourself? You ever had to say that to yourself? When God's blessed you abundantly? I did. We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we'll remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. And they went and told, you know the story, that they didn't believe at the beginning. They thought it was a trap, but finally they realized it, and they went. And now everybody that was eating, you know, dove dung and donkey heads is now just beyond $20, you could buy 7 gallons of barley. $20, you could buy 3.5 gallons of flour. The day before, you were spending $670 on a donkey head and $110 on a pint of dove dung. But now they've entered into a place of abundance. And let me tell you, this is the true sign that you're blessed is that you're a blessing. The true sign that you're blessed is that you're a blessing. And many of you have been that through so many different people through the flood. And he wants you to listen. He wants you to go back to the people that's starving and tell them there's a place of abundance. And here's what I've always believed. You know, God doesn't want just for you to believe God so that you can have enough. What would you think? God didn't want you just to have enough faith to believe that you can have the finances to buy your own car and get it paid off. How many would think that maybe he's big enough for you to bless you so much that you could help a single mom buy a car and have it paid off? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? Can I get an amen in this place? And he wants to take the lack out of our lives so that we can find someone else and take the lack out of their lives and help them. I'm not helping people that won't work, but there's a whole lot of hard-working people that's having a hard time that God can use us. So I just tell my own, I'm going to tell you what I've done, but that's been my heart to help take what I've got and for the Lord to bless me beyond what I need and then bless. And that's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians exactly. He says, by equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack.
Yes, amen.
And that their abundance later on also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. Everybody say amen today, would you? All right, in one moment, God took lack out of the equation. God wants to take lack out of the equation of your life. Not so that you can get fat and sassy, but that you might help other people. Nick, come on up. I'm going to do this one. So. In Acts chapter 3, it's a story of a lame man. It says, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked. Everybody say walked. And entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, leaping, and praising God. I want to talk to you. I asked Nick to do this song. Everybody stand up, would you, this morning? I don't know where you're at this morning. You might be eating donkey heads and dove dungs this morning. Might be your menu. And you know you've got a lot of lack, you know, in your life. You may be at a place where abundance, where God just blessed you abundantly. Listen, just say, Lord, I want to hear those words one day. Close your eyes. Just say, I want to hear those words one day. Well done. Well done. Well done with your life. Well done. And so, Lord, I just love you today. I thank you for what you want to do in our lives. Lord, how you come into lives, and Lord, there's some that's sitting there, Lord, and they're in lack this morning. And, Lord, there's such a place of abundance in you because you've not changed. And, Lord, I believe, I trust in you, Lord, that I want to start walking by faith. Some of you, the Lord's told you that to walk, and there's some things that you feel like you ought to do. And I just felt like that from the Lord. You need to do them. You need to do them. You need to start walking. And even though you don't see anything that's changing, you don't see the results of what you're doing, and all you're doing is obedience. As those four lepers walked, that they had no idea that their steps were being magnified by God. And that literally that walk of faith that they were doing was being magnified by God, was going to bring them to a place of abundance. But the abundance wasn't so they could just hide it all away and bury it and keep it all for themselves. They're not doing right. But it's that we might be a blessing for others, that the day might come when we are in need and somebody else's abundance is going to be for our need, and God's going to help us. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. I live this myself. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but I'm going to tell you honest. I live that myself. I bless the Lord. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. I just need today. I'm not worried about not having enough for tomorrow, the next day. I'm doing the adequate things and getting prepared. I'm doing all that. But there is an excess. When the excess comes, when the abundance comes, then help people that are in need. There are people all around you in need. There's some families that you might know of that's in need. Help them. Help them. There might be some single people that you know in need. Help them. Somebody at work, somebody at school, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody. Help them. Help them. Take of the abundance of God and help somebody. Help somebody. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says the day will come when, and then Brother Eccles used to tell me, the way you lay up treasures on earth, lay up treasures in heaven, is you lay them down on earth. Isn't that good? The way you lay up treasures in heaven is you lay them down on earth. The way you lay up treasures in heaven is you lay them down on earth. And you can sin. Listen, the Bible speaks about a heavenly bank account. I don't know how your bank account's doing in heaven. But if anywhere I want my bank account, see, everybody checks their stock market, they check their bank account, they check their investments, they check this, they check. Why don't you check your heavenly account? And I don't know about you, but you know, this, whatever I do on earth is going to last me about 90 to 100 years at the most. But what I put in my bank account in heaven is going to last me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And so I don't know about you, I've made up my mind, I want my bank account in heaven. I'm going to try to put as much away in it as I can before I go. Because I only have this one chance to do it. I'm filling up my bank account in heaven. I'm filling up my bank account in heaven. And so Lord, I just pray this morning that, Lord, as you bring us to this place, that we begin to walk in faith, and some of us need to get out of where we are. And there's a place of abundance that we want to believe you for, God, to take the lack out of the equation of our lives and use us in just a tremendous way to be a blessing to other people. Lord, to bless other people, to be a blessing to other people. And Lord, I just pray, I lift that up before you today, Lord, that we can touch lives of people now when we have the opportunity. Bless the waitresses. Bless the single parents. Bless the widows. Bless the orphans. Lord, those that are really a special class to you. Lord, bless the our friends that's going through hard. Lord, bless them to give, to help, to underwrite them, encourage them. So, Lord, we love you today. We love you. We trust you, Lord, that you'll give us tomorrow what we need, the next day what we need, the next day what we need. But I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for this people in this place. Lord, would you make them as those four lepers did that day, and they go back to all their friends and relatives and people of the city, and they tell them of the place of abundance, and they tell them and they share what they've got, and they share what they've got with others, Lord, and they just bless them. I pray, God, in this place it would be just an open giving. Our hands would be open. See, really, really being blessed is not what you can hold on to. Being blessed is what you can let go of. That's when you know you're really blessed. When you're really blessed by God, you know it's from God, but then you're not worried about that you're not going to get any more. Then you know that the same God that gave to you, shaken down, running over in abundance, can do it again. So you don't hold on into it like you're never going to get anything else. You let go of it. And then you become what God can do, a channel, a funnel that God can just bless and bless and bless and bless. So, Lord, we thank you for being that today. We thank you for, Lord, making us a blessing to so many different people in our lives. Lord, those that you bring across our paths to be able to help them and give to them. And, Lord, just to be a blessing and use it, God, for our abundance, for their lack. So, Lord, we trust you. We trust you today. Now, close your eyes. Just keep your eyes closed one more time. Maybe you're here today and what you really lack is salvation. You never have gotten saved. And you never, God wants to do that in your life. That's the most important thing of your life. God wants to work salvation in your life. And so, and it's free. And listen, there's a place of abundance that you think that you're sitting there spiritually eating dove dung and donkey heads. But there's a place that God wants to do in your life that is more than enough. And so it's a place that's free, and we've all tasted of it. We've all gathered it. And so we want to share with you today that it's free. You can come and take of the waters of life freely, and God will forgive you and cleanse you. And we received more than enough. We received an abundant life, and we received a heaven instead of hell. We received all these things, and we don't want to just hide it. We want to share it with you today that you can receive it. We were no better than you. We're not better than you. And the Lord wants to do something in your life. And it's free. And so we want to share it with you like those four lepers shared that with the people of Samaria. There was an abundance and a place of where you can get out of the life and the existence that you're living. And all you have to do is ask God in your life. All you have to do is he's near you. He's right. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he hears. And when you call out his name, he hears what you ask. And so this morning, it's all you have to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. So I want to help you pray. Maybe you've never prayed and you don't know how to pray. So I want everybody in here, we're going to pray with you and just kind of help you. And I want you to pray. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for taking all my sin and all my fault and all my wrongs and all the things I've done. and you took the punishment for them. Thank you for dying in my place. Now I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to save me. Would you cleanse me and wash me? I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, listen. Not only the Bible says he that not only he that knew no sin became sin, but here's what it says. Not only would Jesus do just what you asked him, not only does he do that, but here's what else Paul said. He that knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Not only do you get zeroed out, you just don't get zeroed out. You get your life filled. With the righteousness of Jesus. You get your life filled with his righteousness. Your bank account is full. I mean, you're not just zeroed out where it's a clean plate. No. He adds and adds and adds the righteousness of Jesus Christ to where now you're standing when you ask him. You're standing not just cleansed, but as if you were the righteousness of Jesus Christ now has been imputed or given to you. And when God looks at you now, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that goes from, listen, that goes from eating donkey heads and dove dung to an abundance. And so that's what's happened in your life. And everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. God bless you. Come on. All right, turn around and give somebody a good high five.